Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. Let it be to us a lantern to our feet, a light to our path, and a strength to our lives. Amen. 102-year-old lady was asked if she had any worries. Her reply was, "No, not now. I have got my youngest son in the old people's home." I guess parents, especially mothers, never stop worrying about the children they have and the children they may have lost. Sometimes it's the other way round. Children worry about their parents and the things they do. As a 10-year-old once said, "When your mum is mad at you, Dad, don't ever, ever, ever let her brush your hair." Sounds familiar to some of you, doesn't it? And a 13-year-old also learnt one of life's lessons. When you get bad marks at school, show it to your mum when she's on the phone. I must admit, I used that a couple of times. And as it's been said, today is Mothering Sunday. And I'm going to give you a little bit of history about Mothering Sunday, and it's quite interesting. Some have said it is difficult to be a definite about how it began. So here are some sort of theories about this important day, being Mothering Sunday. It may have even started in the Roman times, a Roman festival centuries ago, celebrating one of their goddesses with a small g. Considering the great mother of the gods she was, it is to believe this festa was later Christianized by the church to remember and celebrate the role of mothers. Another thought is, in the days when churches in Britain had large numbers of churchgoers, they developed the habit of finding and visiting once a year the church where they were baptized. It seemed to be a pilgrimage to their mother church. This day was eventually called Mothering Sunday. It is also believed that people working in the servants, and dear old Scruffy has actually mentioned it, around about the 16th century, they got the day off. 10-year-olds, maybe a bit younger than that even sometimes, given a day off between mid-Lent, that's why it's usually on the fourth Sunday of Lent, to visit their mothers. What I find unique about this celebration is in Britain, and especially in the Anglican and Methodist tradition, we still prefer to call it Mothering Sunday, instead of Mother's Day, as it is called in parts of America. And that seems to be forever changing with consumerism these days that take over. I think it was last year, my wife Trish, for you, some of you know, informed our four children, which are in their 50s now, which makes me feel ancient, that she did not want any more mum mugs. Have you looked in your larders recently, your cupboards, and seen how many mum mugs you got? I can see a few of it relate to that. Today has become a day to give thanks for the care of the mother in church and to reflect on God's loving nature. It is also a time to express thanks to our mothers and celebrate motherhood. I've got to say here, when I wrote that, I didn't see the television the other day about all those young children who are starving to death in Gaza. And that, for me, is criminal. It really touched me. So imagine, if you can, you are 3 to 6 years old. Now take your time to think back to when you were little. And if something went wrong. If you have just hurt yourself. Or you are scared, worried. Who do you usually, or did, run to? Or maybe some of you still run to. For most of us, that would probably be your mother. And she would give you a big, big hug. If you had a wound or anything like that, give it a bit of a kiss, say, there you go. You are healed. Even if a few of us had bad or poor relationships with our mothers, yet, I'm sure there is a bit inside of us all at crisis times when we want to run to our mothers for that hug, for that compliment. So let us reflect on today's readings about mothers. We do sometimes forget at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Jesus' mother was there. Just imagine that, standing there watching your son hanging on that cross. How painful that must have been. For us, it's good news. But for Mary, was it good news? And then we have the mother of Moses in the Exodus reading. And her name was Amram, not named in this piece of scripture, but further on in Exodus she is named. And then we have the daughter of the then Pharaoh, Thutmose the First. And there we have Miriam, the older sister of Moses, all there. All mothers, significant mothers in the Bible. And there are more in the Bible as well. So let us start with Moses' mother. In this reading, she's not even named, nor are the names of the other characters in the reading. Moses' mum gives birth to a baby boy. It ought to be a great, great celebration. But it wasn't. A baby boy in a Hebrew family was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it was not. So, because in genealogical dictator had decreed that all male Hebrew babies were to be killed at birth to reduce the strength of the Israelite numbers. I don't know about you, for me it sounds familiar. He commanded all Egyptians to drown all male Israelite children. In Moses' case, his mother recognized something special about this boy. And at risk to herself, after trying to hide him, made a little basket boat and placed the baby in it and set it afloat down the River Nile. Not knowing where it was going to end up. Not knowing where it was going to end up at all. But I believe God intervened. For her, this must have been the last resort to save her child. She did not know where the child would end up, but in faith she took the chance. She took that chance, that faith. Something's good, special about this child. Something good is going to happen. And for us, we know the story of the Exodus as he grew up and what he did. She watched, obviously, as Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe and saw her, noticed the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to get it. And the baby wept. But to her relief, realized that Pharaoh's daughter was not going to drown him, but to save him. Yes, the child could have commanded the maid to drown him, but her motherly instincts kicked in. As my Bible says, she had compassion on him. She breaks the cycle of evil, knowing that her father would have the baby killed. He would get the child killed. And she saves him and even adopts him. Going back to the story, being brave, Miriam appears and suggests to her to call a nurse for her child from the Hebrew women. Pharaoh's daughter tells her to go, which she does, and comes back with the child's mother. Brilliant. Yes, you got it. It's Moses and Miriam's mother she calls upon. Good news. Here we have the mother of Moses, wet nursing her own child for the daughter of the Pharaoh. How ironic is that, even being paid to look after him. It's clear that through the wet nursing period, the child received training in the Hebrew faith before he was even introduced to Egyptian education. By all accounts, naming the child Moses in Hebrew and Egyptian meant to be drawn out. So here we have three mothers saved a very important person. Moses, who was with God's help, took the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. And in today's gospel reading, we see Jesus being received in the temple by Simeon. A small glimpse of a joyous day as Joseph and Mary revealed at the things that were said about Jesus. Simeon blesses them and Mary, the mother of Jesus. He speaks of the sorrow for her, likened to be a sword piercing her soul. I wonder if she, Jesus' ministry, if she accepts, I should say, Jesus' ministry and even his death on the cross. At that time, she did not know what was going to take place, but she had faith. She had faith in God and what her son was going to do. And as I said, yes, she accepted Jesus' ministry and even his death on the cross. But still, as a mother, it's that pain. No mention of Joseph, but I'm sure if he was around, he would have had the same pain of watching their son being crucified or being executed. But still, as that mother, to see one's child die before they die is something else. Intense shock, disbelief, confusion. Just a few reactions. And being that thought of having no future without your son. Some days you might even feel guilty for surviving your child. Is that what Mary, the mother of Jesus, felt? Through the circumstances are somewhat different, it is an interesting parallel that Moses and Jesus both faced the threat of death as infants, and both were saved to accomplish a great redemption for us, for all of us here, God's people. Without these mothers, that would not have happened. And to lighten it a little bit, here are a few things I have plucked from somewhere about what a mother has taught us. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And my mother taught me wisdom. When you get to my age, you'll understand. Just a few snippets. So let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for our mothers and placing her in our lives and for the blessing she is to us and to our families. Amen. This is not an apology, but I don't know if you realize that the second reading wasn't the right reading, but I believe it was and is the right reading for today. The reading that was I was going to use or put down was verses 33 to 35, but Luke chapter 2, which is what's down there, funny enough. But it wasn't the reading that I've got in my Bible. The reading says this, but I still think the reading that was given is important to a number of you. The reading from Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 33 to 35 says this, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him," this being Jesus. "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" What's that last bit for me? "A sword will pierce through your own soul also." And as I reflected on with regard to what's happening in Gaza at the moment, all those mothers whose children are malnourished and are suffering and they're seeing them die. And for those of us who have witnessed our own sons pass by. So let us pray. Sometimes, Lord, when we reflect on your word in the Gospels and in the Bible, and we see things evolve and take place in our humanness and humanity and all that is good and all that is bad. I just pray, Almighty God, that your Holy Spirit will come upon the situation, especially in Gaza and in our hearts today, that there will be a mighty, mighty, mighty healing of your truth, that they have missed out. They have missed out your Son, Jesus Christ, which they witnessed that crucifixion also. And I believe, Lord Jesus, without you there in the midst, which I believe you must be, I just want you, Lord, to heal and take away the pain and take away and stop the violence, and there be a ceasefire, total ceasefire, for the food, medicines to actually get into those places. And I pray this, and thank you for listening to my prayer, Lord Jesus. And I pray it in your name. Amen.